Yes, you're wonderful. Yes, what would you like me to do? There's no pleasure in that. But when His creation chooses to love Him and chooses to serve Him and chooses to give Him their lives, that brings Him pleasure and glory. And so Paul is saying, I want you now to yield yourself to the one who's already in charge, which is God. Look at up in verse 13, same chapter. He says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, Paul tells us here in verse 19, we are now the servants to righteousness. Look at these last two words, unto holiness. Most of us know Romans 12:1. There's a little word that's hiding in there. We just fly over it when we say the verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Anybody know what the next word is? Holy. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's an important word. The holiness of God is the number one attribute of God in Scripture, mentioned over 600 times in the Old Testament alone. The holiness of God is the reason why we need to be saved, because we violate His holiness through sin. And the holiness of God is what He wants for us. He says, I want you to become the servants to righteousness unto holiness. Look at 1 Peter 1, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. God here in 1 Peter 1 is quoting the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, actually. But the truth still stands, and that truth is this. God is and always has been holy. Praise God, our Creator is holy. We could have had a Creator that was sinful or mean or angry, but instead we have a Creator who is holy. And notice what he says, First Peter 1:15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Holy. Back to our passage, verse 21. The Bible says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? If we didn't get saved as a child, we have things in our past that we're ashamed of. Maybe we have things we're ashamed of since we got saved. Because during those times, we weren't serving the Lord. We weren't yielded to the Spirit of God. We were yielded to the flesh. And we were serving the flesh. And we were sinning. And Paul says, what fruit did that bear? What fruit came out of serving the flesh? What fruit came out of living in sin? None. Because he says the end of those things is death. The Bible says for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritually minded, carnally minded. Maybe you're ashamed of your past. It's under the blood. Praise God. We're not to live in the past. We're to press toward the mark. Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind. But Paul is saying here, you Roman Christians need to be careful that now you understand you have a new master. That master is God. And you are here to serve Him unto holiness. And to, no matter how bad your past was, to leave it behind and serve God. Too many people dwell on the past, and that's just a waste of time. It's the past, as Paul said, forgetting those things in Philippians 3. Notice what Paul says in chapter 7. Turn over there if you would. Verse 18, talking again about his flesh. He says, for I know that in me, Romans 7:18, that is in my flesh, parentheses, dwelleth no good thing. He He says, "My flesh dwelleth no good thing," but we're free from sin. We are free from the flesh. Our flesh has been crucified. The Bible says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." So Paul is trying to get us to understand that we are servants of a new master. We have a new life, and we should have a new pursuit. And that would be the pursuit of God and holiness and righteousness. The Bible says, "He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." There is no fruit in the flesh. There is no fruit in the past. There is no fruit in those things. And what he's trying to tell us is now we're here to serve a new master and to, yes, bear fruit. Jesus said that we're to bear fruit in John 15 over and over. He said, "He's the vine, we're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." So we're here to bear fruit, but what kind of fruit? Fruit unto holiness. But what can happen, if you go to Philippians 3, please, what can happen is, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves tricked by the devil into serving the Lord in the flesh. We are going to be shocked when we get to heaven and we stand before Jesus Christ and his gazing eye, which has all knowledge, is going to point out what works were done with the wrong motive and what works were done in the flesh. And that's the wood, hay, stubble, the Bible says, that will be burnt up. And only the works that were fruit unto holiness will be the gold, silver, precious stones. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So you mean you could teach a Sunday school class in the flesh? Absolutely. Especially if you've done it before 100 times, 200 times. It'd be easy to go in and teach a Sunday school class in the flesh. You know what? It'd be easy to preach a sermon in the flesh if you've done it enough times. It'd be easy to get up here and sing a song in the flesh. You've done it enough times, you've got the experience. And it's the fruit of it, death. It's useless. Yeah, you did something and people might have said amen, but is it fruit unto holiness? No. Because it wasn't done in the Spirit. So Philippians 3:3, "We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." How easy it is it if we've been saved a while to trust the flesh to get things done for God. And God says it won't work. We are servants of righteousness unto holiness. Go to verse 22 of our passage, Romans 6. "But now being made free again from sin, we have become the servants to God." And notice what he says, "and have your fruit unto holiness." There's something we often don't think about. If you go back to Romans chapter 1, look at verse 4. And that is the name of the one who indwells us when we're born again. Do we often just stop and contemplate just his name? Whether you want to refer to him as the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, there is one word common in those two names. That is not a coincidence or an accident that the first of his names is holy. Look at verse 4 of chapter 1, Romans. "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of" what? "Holiness." God sent his Spirit to indwell us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You would think maybe that we would understand, therefore, what his goal is in our lives. If he is the Holy Ghost, if he is the Spirit of holiness, if it's God's will that we have fruit unto holiness, what God is trying to do is work through us to live a life of holiness. Because he is holy. And so, yes, we're to be fruit-bearing Christians, no question about it. But if we're not yielded to the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. As Paul says, yield to the Spirit. If we're not yielded to the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, we're not going to bear fruit unto holiness. We might bear some fruit, but it's not holy fruit. Now I'll turn over, you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. And I, a lot of Christians say, I just can't do it. I can't live a holy life. The world's too wicked. My flesh is too weak. I just can't do it. But honestly, that's not a true statement. Because the Creator of the universe lives in you. Think about that. Why is He there? He's there to enable you to do what He called you to do. God doesn't just save us and say, now here's your instructions. Go do those things and I'll bring you to heaven someday. He says, no. Here's your instructions, and I'm going to live in you and help you carry them out. Isn't that beautiful? That He doesn't just save us, but He actually then indwells us and empowers us to do what He calls us to do. Faithful is He that calleth you who also will do it. So yes, any Christian, every Christian can live a holy life, but only as they yield to the Holy Spirit who indwells them. Notice Ephesians 4, verse 24. That you put on the new man. Who's that talking about? The man that we get when we're born again. Because up in verse 22 it says that we need to put off the old man. Here it says we need to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man is created by God in righteousness and true holiness. That's beautiful. Does Jesus want us to bear fruit? Absolutely. John 15, 16, He says, you've not chosen Me, but I've chosen you. That you might go and bear forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of Father in My name, I will do, give it you. You go and bear fruit. Yes, He wants us to bear fruit, but He wants this to bear fruit unto holiness. When Isaiah was given a glimpse of heaven in Isaiah chapter 6, what do we find the angelic beings saying around the throne of God but holy, holy, holy? When we get to heaven, we're going to be singing that or saying that as well. It all starts with His holiness. And for us as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to be focused on having fruit unto holiness. It's not enough to just say, oh, God wants me to bear fruit. He does. He wants you to bear fruit. What is the fruit? There's plenty of it in the Scripture. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's just Galatians 5. We could go on. There's plenty of fruit that God wants us to bear. And by the way, we can't bear any of it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. He bears it through us. He enables us to bear that fruit. But if we're not yielded to Him and we go out to love and to have the joy and the peace and the long-suffering, and we try to do that in our own strength and our own flesh, we try to stir that up, we try to make it happen, we're wasting our time. Because we, as Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So stop having confidence in the flesh. Stop trusting the flesh to carry it out. It can't do it. But the God, the Holy Ghost can. God, the Holy Spirit can. The Spirit of holiness can do it. As we, as Paul said earlier, yield to Him. This is something we've got to do every day. Probably every hour. Yield to the One who lives in us. That we, who are now the servants of righteousness, might not only have it true doctrinally in our lives, but that it might come out practically in our lives. that we, as the servants of righteousness, as the servants of God who've been made free from sin, might bear fruit unto holiness. Did you notice the end there in verse 22? Everlasting life. Well, it's already a present possession. Jesus said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. But it's not over, is it? Because someday we get rid of this body, praise God. And then we don't have to fight sin anymore. And then he reminds us in that verse that we all know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So the end is eternal life forever with God. In the meantime, before that end comes and we get to spend forever with God, God left us here. He didn't take us immediately to heaven when we got saved. He left us here so that we can tell others. We can touch others. We can make a difference. Somebody touched us. Somebody told us about Jesus Christ. Now he wants us to do the same, but he wants us to bear this fruit unto holiness. To remember that we have been saved and we serve a holy God. Of all the attributes they could have put on Aaron's garments, who was the high priest in the time of Moses, it said, holiness unto the Lord. That was the only attribute on the garments, his holiness. As he is holy, so be ye holy. In all manner of conversation, that means everything that we do. Fruit unto holiness. Think about it. First of all, are you born again? If you're not born again, this message definitely wasn't for you. Because you have no capacity to live a holy life if the Holy Ghost doesn't indwell you. And if you're not saved, he doesn't. The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But second of all, if you are a Christian, are you a fruit-bearing Christian? And if you're a fruit-bearing Christian, is that fruit unto holiness? Or is it fruit for your own pleasure or a fruit of your own efforts? Because all of that fruit is rotten fruit that will not survive the judgment. Fruit unto holiness. That's God's desire for every one of us. And I would hope that would be what we would strive for. Are we going to get there 100%? No. It's unfortunate, but it's not going to happen. But every day we can certainly yield to the Holy Ghost and allow him to work through us and to grow us and to mature us and to bring out that fruit unto holiness in our lives. Fruit unto holiness.